Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you for this good evening, for all of us to be together here, to hear your word and to respond with our prayers and praises. And bless us tonight as we meditate carefully on the words that we heard, especially the words of Jesus about being the last and servant of all. We pray that you would help us, give us the faith to do that, as you have given him to us, our life, and in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, Pastor Adel taught us from the book of James about the problems we often have with our mouths, especially the way that we talk to other people and hurt them with our tongues. James goes on a little bit further in his letter, and tonight we heard him talking about the way we are tempted to use our tongues inappropriately to talk about ourselves, that is, to be boastful and prideful. Jesus addresses this problem as it crops up among his own disciples, arguing about who's going to be the greatest among them, and then gives them that great lesson, a lesson that we really can spend the rest of our lives thinking about, really, thinking about what it means when Jesus says, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Jesus himself shows us in his own life how he came to serve, not to be served. And that challenges everything that we experience as human beings in this world. So let's begin, first of all, thinking about the sin of pride. How is it talked about in the Bible? So in the only book written to youth in the Bible, the only book written directly to youth, the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, right in the middle verse, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. If you look at that book of Proverbs, you'll see many things before that middle verse, many things after that middle verse, and they all often talk about that very terrible temptation, a destructive sin for all of us. There is one of the great stories of the Bible, the story of the Philistine giant Goliath, boastful, bragging, claiming all sorts of things that he's going to do to the army of Israel. And God humbles him with a shepherd boy, David, who does not swagger out in front of Goliath at all, but simply prays and thanks God and says, "God, you delivered the bear, the lion, into my hands. So let's go. Deliver this Philistine giant into my hands as well." A few moments later, David was standing over that giant with his head in his hands. We've seen that before in the world. Boastful men, preachers, athletes, politicians, businessmen who have great falls because they were not focused on God but on themselves. But let's be careful, because this is not a problem of the few. This is not a problem of the elite people of the world. And the reason we say that is because these disciples are not the elite people of Israel by any means. They were normal, run-of-the-mill men, and yet among them, the sin of pride was definitely cropping up. What are you guys arguing about among yourselves? These men, like all of us, struggled with that temptation to be the king of our own little hill. Put two people together in the same room, and eventually there's that potential for that kind of struggle. So Jesus takes a little child and he puts the child in the middle and he says, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." What does it mean when Jesus says that we should be last and servant of all? One day I was driving my son to a Little League, Quarry League, guess, baseball game, and we were driving in the car, This is one of those things I've told you before. I had these experiences in my life, and I could take you to the exact spots, but stoplight over there in front of Schnucks grocery store where this happened. And I told David, play your best, do your best, but don't be prideful about it. You know, if you get a home run or something or a double or whatever, and David was real quiet for a little bit, and then he kind of sheepishly asked me, but Dad, aren't we supposed to be proud? And boy, did we have a good discussion after that, because you see, there was the clash. There was the clash. The clash between the way Jesus lived his life and the way he wants us to live our lives and the way the world lives their lives. It's all about winning, isn't it? And my little son was just simply reflecting what had been pumped into him. Aren't we supposed to be proud? And I said, David, I wouldn't have told you to do your best if I didn't want you to win. Winning is good, but the most important thing is that we always look to the victory of Jesus, that we let Jesus always be the most important thing in our lives, that we do our best and we give thanks to God for any successes that we experience, that we always remember His victory being the most important of all. The way of pride often forgets about that. And the way of pride leads us down the wrong road. I thought of a lot of examples of people who have successfully followed Jesus in his humility. And these people are great examples for us as well. People like Saint Athanasius or Martin Luther, men who really put their lives right on the line for their faith. Or of Saint Thomas Aquinas, great theologian of the Middle Ages. I don't agree with all the things that he taught, but there were many, many things that he taught very well, and he was praised often for his abilities. But when people would come up and praise Aquinas, he had this habit of slipping his hand underneath his cloak and making a little sign of the cross over his heart as a reminder to himself, as we read in Psalm 115, "Not to me, O Lord, not to me, but to thee be all the glory." That's what he was telling himself, and that's what we should always tell ourselves. Think of musicians like J.S. Bach and George Frideric Handel, who clearly all the time were telling people what they were doing to the glory of God. Scientists like Johannes Kepler, Michael Faraday, and although he wasn't a Christian, Isaac Newton certainly gave glory to God for everything that he had ever accomplished in his life. And there are athletes, of course, that set great examples for us. Football players like Tim Tebow and Kurt Warner. Boxer like George Foreman, who's also a Baptist minister. 1924, we have the great story of the runner Eric Liddell, who gave up an Olympic medal in his best race, the 100 meters, because they had scheduled it on a Sunday. And to him, that was against his faith and his practice. These men have all one thing in common with each other, and that is they would gladly trade their earthly success for the spiritual successes that God had given to them in Jesus. And so what makes the difference between them and the striving and successful people of the world is this. For them, Jesus is not just an ornament. His life, his death, his resurrection, his second coming are something they think about a lot. Something that has changed their lives, and they realize that is what is most important. So these would be people who worship regularly, not occasionally. These would be people who schedule Jesus into their life every week, and not just every week, but every day, daily Bible reading and prayer. And one of the most important things about these people, and one of the most interesting things as you get to know any of them, they also want others to be successful, as and even more successful than they have been in their lives. They don't see other people as stepping stones for success, but they see the successes God has given to them, and they want to pass that success on to others. They also see success in little things in life, like the nursing home aide who's simply doing her job. And they recognize and realize that that is just as important and gives God glory just as much as anything that they have accomplished that the world also loves and recognizes and compliments them for. In conclusion, let me just say this. I think it's so important. As I've been describing this humility, I know there was a point in my life when I would be sitting where you're sitting right now, and I'd kind of groan. Every Sunday? pray all the time? Put others first? That's just another hard thing that I gotta do. And that's our sinful side. That's our sinful nature that groans when we hear encouraging words. And when we hear a lifestyle like that and we think to ourselves, I don't want to go there. But there's another side to us that we all have. We've been given that in our baptism. We've been given that in our faith. That's our faith life. And we're always torn between these two things. And Jesus is simply urging his disciples and urging each of us as well, let it fall down on that side of faith. Trust me in this, that it will work out better for you. Take this way of being the servant and not being the one who always has to push others down in order to get ahead. It will have two tremendous benefits for you. And the first one is this. It is so healthy for you, psychologically healthy, spiritually healthy for you. Above all, I mean, pride is a dangerous sin. It can separate you from the Lord. It separates you from other people all of the time, as I said earlier. But it is so healthy for you. You walk into a room full of people, and the prideful side of you does this. You start measuring everybody around you. I'm better than that guy, and I'm better than that person, and that's the way pride thinks and the way pride feels. Now, this is also the way pride thinks and feels. You walk into a room and you look around and say, whoa, I'm not as good as these people. I don't belong here. And you put yourself down. Both attitudes are branches that come off the same tree, and that tree is called the tree of pride. And it's unhealthy for you to think that way. You should walk into a room full of people and say, I am who I am. I'm thankful for who I am. And I'm thankful for who you are. And I'm especially thankful if whatever you do and if whatever I do, if somehow that gives God glory, somehow that furthers the success of His kingdom and of His Son, then I'll be happy. I don't have to be taken in by that temptation to envy. And I don't have to be sitting there living in regret all the time because somebody's better than me. We are what we are in the grace of God. And that's a healthy, healthy way to live our lives. But here's the best thing of all. I'm going to end on this. When you trust and put it down on the faith side of life, listen carefully to this, you are going to reach the success that God wants you to have in life. And guess what? It might be much higher than what you had even hoped for on your own. When you trust in God, God leads you and He will take you to whatever level He needs you to be at. And He takes all of us in different ways. Some people have achieved tremendous successes in their lives, but it's God who puts them all together and ties them all together in the success that He has given to us in His Son, Jesus. And so that's why we demote ourselves so that we can promote Him and His goodness, and His grace, and His salvation. And that is what is, in the end, going to make us happy, going to make us joyful, going to make us God's children and God's people. Amen. Please rise. And let us pray. O Lord God, thank You for these clear truths, good truths for us to hear and to think about this evening. And bless us this day, bless us this weekend and this week ahead, and guide us along in our lives to the success that You want for us. And we pray that in all of it, we would be a part of the great success that You have given to us in Your Son, Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.